Amen. It's so good to see each of you out this evening, and just good to see y'all. Any visitors? I can't say they're visitors. You've been with us before, but it's good to see my good friend Justin and his family with us tonight. Really appreciate you being here, and he's a hard worker. He works out in the yard. It gets pretty hot and steamy out there, so I appreciate you being here. Appreciate y'all being here. I've been thinking a lot about the church in general, and kind of want to preach along those lines tonight. And if you'd like to, we can be turning to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Much to be in prayer for. We'll be praying, having our time of prayer a little bit later. And definitely have a special object of prayer for a young man who just announced his call to preach, I guess, on Sunday. Be praying for him. Lord willing, hope to have him here with us before too long. And it's exciting to see the Lord move and how he's moving, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see it take place. I tell you, the Lord's work is not finished until he calls us home and he comes to take us back. And I guess it's kind of why my mind has landed where it has here, thinking about the church just in general. It's easy to think about the church as the entire church, the invisible church, as it's referred to, all believers in Christ in that church. But also, I really get to thinking about our church in particular, think about us. And, you know, this is written here. This is written in past tense, but I believe meaning in future present or future tense. But also, I think you can see a little bit of different of these personalities in different churches. I wouldn't just necessarily say one size fits all. I guess different churches have different things. But I thought about it like this. You see how this is written here, and you'll see here in just a minute. But if you could go back 30 years ago, and there's some probably here that was here 30 years ago in the church, and if the Lord was writing a letter to this church, what do you think he would have said to the church then? I don't have that answer to it. That's very subjective when you look at it that way. What would you think the Lord, how he would have responded to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, what he would say? What he is doing is he is, surveying these churches. He's saying things about these churches, and he's telling the church the truth about what they're doing, the good and the bad. So I say that, say, 30-some years ago, but now what would you say that the Lord would write if he was writing to the church today? What do you think he'd write to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church? I think that's a very loaded question in some ways. And again, I don't have an answer. I just want you to get your minds thinking about it, because he is directly writing to these churches. And just kind of the Lord led me straight here in studying earlier this week. And I just pray that it helps us and helps our mind. And we'll start reading here. Just want to look at verses 1 through 7. Just want to look at the church of Ephesus and what it's saying here. It's a message to the church. And it says here, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted." That's a good testimony. Very good testimony up to this point. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Let's pray. Lord, I come to you tonight, God, knowing that I'm unworthy, Lord, but God, just so thankful for what you do for us. God, how you take care of us, how you provide for us, God. And just the simple thought on my heart this week, God, is how you are able, how you will hold, you will take care of, you're able to keep what we commit to you, God. And Lord, I just pray that we as a church commit to you more and more, God. We as individuals, God, whether it be the work in the church, God, whether it be work in the community, at home, at school, whatever that is, Lord, whatever that might be. But what we commit to you, God, you are able to keep. And I thank you so much for that, God, that you're the one who holds it. God, I pray, Lord, that you protect us, protect our hearts, protect the walls of this church, God. Protect the walls of our hearts, God, as we see things and face things. And God, we just want to do what's right. We want to follow your word. That's what you've given to us. We want to follow it, God, and trust it and know that we've done right if we followed your word. And then stand on it, God, and not regret anything, Lord. Not falter, not hesitate, not faint, God, but be ready to stand and move forward based off of your word. Not of ourselves, anything that we think we can do, God, but it's about you and it's about your word. God, I pray you help us tonight in this study as we see this church here at Ephesus, God, the good and the bad, God, and then we also see what the remedy is. God, I thank you so much for a remedy, God, that you just we're not just left out here hanging, and God, there's a way of forgiveness. There's a remedy. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray you be with those that are lost in our church. God, I pray you be with every heart here tonight. Help our hearts and help our minds, God. Lead us and guide us in your way, God, in your will and your way. Help us, Lord. We'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. It's been a while since I've looked through these churches here in Revelation. Did a study some time back through the book of Revelation, and there's a lot in there. There's a lot to go at or to look at, and this here is just kind of getting into the start of it. And you see the different personalities of the church. Every church has its own personality. Every church maybe has its strengths and weaknesses and what have you. And I had somebody ask me. They said, "Oh yeah, you're a pastor, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah. Where do you pastor at?" And I told her, and I said, "You should come sometime." "Well, I'll think." But she said, "Now, are you one of them holy rolling, super judgy type churches?" And I said, "Well," I said, "we're not holy roly. I wouldn't say that, no." And I said, "As far as super judgy," I said, "I have to say no." I said, "Every church has its own personality." And I said, "Every church has multiple members. I can't speak in total for everybody, but I would say no, we're not like that." I said, "We try to follow the Bible and look at it that way. Again, sinners saved by God's grace, but everybody has their own way, which makes up the way of the church or the personality of the church." But in seeing this here tonight, I find some things here. There's a lot that's encouraging, and then there's something to work on, but then there's a remedy for it, which I think is wonderful. He doesn't just leave it. If you look at the church of Ephesus and you go back to the book of Ephesians, a lot of good study in the book of Ephesians, and then the theme is God's eternal purpose to establish and complete his body, the church. So if you look at that, that's a wonderful thing to see how God is the head. Jesus is the head of the church, and that's the theme and the eternal purpose that God wants to create in himself, a beautiful, perfect church that's willing to follow him, where he is the head and we are just members, and we're willing to follow him and not get ahead of him, but he's the head and we're the members. And that's the theme of that. We see here in verse number 1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." And that's the Lord himself. He's the one that's doing the survey. He's the one that's doing the evaluation. And I tell you, anything that the Lord could say good about us, I would take that. And I would say, "Thank you, Lord." I look at the list in my life and how I can be, how my flesh can be. There's probably a lot. Now I have somewhat to say against you. I have somewhat to say that you need to work on, Jason. That's just how it is if you're really going to line up and take things right. Verses number 2 and 3, it goes into the works of the church. And that's a wonderful thing. There's works. It doesn't mean what you're seeing here. It's not a dead church. They're working. They're moving. There's action in the church, which is a good thing if it's done in the right way. And that's what I want us to see here tonight. The title tonight is Love First. Love First. And I'm trying to be careful in talking about love. I think people get mixed up in what you say. That I think sometimes people think when you say love that that means you're tolerant and accommodating to anything and everything that goes along. And that's not what love means. Love is having a tender heart or affection towards someone for a certain purpose. Jesus loves the church, and you see how he gave his life for it, and he wants us to live for him as he died for us on the cross, that he wants us to have that same love for him. I think a lot of works can be done, a lot of things can be done in going through the motions and have and give appearances, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing. You can absolutely do the right thing with the wrong spirit, with the wrong heart. And you can be right and do it in the wrong way. I mean, it's just that, it's that possible. It's that, and it happens, and people take note of that. But the Lord knows the work of every individual, but he knows the works of all of his churches, the churches that you see scattered round about us, our church. He knows the work. He knows the labor. There's certain things that maybe certain churches have a burden for, and that's what they work toward, and that's what they do. Nothing wrong with that, as long as it's Christ-centered. And the love is placed first, and you'll see that. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Boy, that's a good thing to have. We ever get ahead of ourselves or try to get ahead of the Lord in what we're doing, that's not a good thing to do. But you see a lot of wisdom that's given in these verses here about this church. He knows the works, the labor, the patience of the church. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That means they don't go along with what's evil. I tell you, in this time, and I do believe it's the time of the falling away. And when you think about the falling away, that doesn't mean people just not going to church. That means people who were have now decided not to. And they fall away from the faith. They fall away from church and they quit going for whatever reason. Infinite excuses I've heard, and you've probably heard them too, and it doesn't take much if people want to throw in the towel and give up. But I tell you, I want to encourage you tonight to not do that. And here again, they cannot spare them that are evil. They were willing to stand against what is wrong. If there's one threat that I see today, is preachers, maybe even churches, preachers, in the name of trying to get more people in, compromising on things that should not be compromised on. All of this comes from, again, love first, and I mean that. And, you know, I'd love to see the church filled, but you can't fill the church if you're compromising on what's being preached and what's being taught. If you had the church house filled tonight, and you're telling people what they want to hear and not telling the truth, you're not doing them any good. You're actually doing them a lot of harm. And I think maybe sometimes that's why maybe sometimes attendance falls off. They don't like what they're hearing. But, you know, that's okay as long as they're hearing the truth. And as long as the truth is being presented. And I've heard it said along the line sometimes like, well you kind of got to preach this way. You kind of got to approach this group differently. I don't see that in the Word of God. I don't see that in the Word of God. The same gospel that would be preached to me is the same gospel that should be preached to you. Every single one of us, every one of us. The gospel doesn't change for anybody. But now, I want you to know, if people thought that I hated them, they probably wouldn't listen to what I have to say. That's why they have to see love first. I believe that. A true love, a true benevolence or caring towards somebody, it's just like, hey, I like you. You're a fellow human being. I care about you. I love you in the Lord, and I want to see you get help. I tell you, I think people need to see that. And that's what it's about. Now, if somebody is really wanting to help you, they're going to tell you the good with the bad so that you can actually get some help. And that's how it works. And see, that's what the Lord is saying here. He's giving out. He's saying, he said, you work hard, you have patience, you don't, you can't not bear them that are evil. You don't go wrong along with what's wrong. That's a good thing. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. That is a true definition there of holding somebody accountable. You don't like, I don't say us, but The world does not like accountability today. The world is always looking for somebody to blame, somebody to place the blame onto. And I have never seen so many victims in all my life. Everybody's a victim. Everybody of something. And try to justify things by all manner of ways that are wrong. I tell you, the Word of God is just so plain, you put yourself against that. We're not victims. We're not. We're sinners who need a God. You need to get right, and you need to stay right. That's what He teaches us. And He's talking about these here. He's talking about these fake apostles or those that were lying. He's saying, listen and see what they preach. And I want to say this. I want to mention this again. It's very important. We've had some missionaries fall off, many different reasons, not even bad reasons, but fall off. We've actually taken some on, and I think it would be good. We've kind of mentioned it a little bit. Anybody that has interest in really looking at our missionaries and going through those, I think it's important to do that. I had a friend, a pastor friend today, talk to me. He said, you know what you need to do sometime? He said, I had somebody tell me one time, he said, just surprise your missionaries sometime. Just roll up on them when they least expect it and see what they're doing. Wouldn't that be something? I was like, you know, that's not bad. That's not bad advice. But I tell you, going to the Philippines and some of these places, it might take a little while to get there too, you know, and find it where it's at. But I tell you, I think that's good advice. But knowing what people are preaching, what they are teaching that's coming out of this church is absolutely imperative. Because if it's wrong, we can't back it. I mean, it's that simple. And if it's surrounded, centered by the gospel, and it's the gospel truth out of, I'll say it, a King James Bible, then okay, let's look at that. But trying to mess with that and change that is not going to work. It's not going to work. The same gospel that saved me is the same gospel that saved the people that they're talking about in this church. There's only one. There's only one, and that's the good one. That's the right one. And that's the one that we need to stay with. We have to stay with, or we're no longer a church. And I thank God for the stand that we take. And he's saying here that you were good in doing these things. You're working. You're holding people accountable. You're listening to those who are liars, and you're calling them out, and you're making it right. And thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. They've stayed in there. You know, as I read this, I'm like, yeah, this is the kind of church I'd like to attend, Sister Sharon. I'd like to go there. This sounds like a good group. They're working. They hold people accountable. They're against the liars, and it just seems like they're a good, solid church. And you get down to this verse here. And you find the problem that says, nevertheless, have I somewhat against thee. And that's when everybody's ears perks up. Now, this is the moment of truth. What are we doing wrong? What was being done wrong in this church? Have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I tell you, if you don't keep the main thing, the point of focus, you can do things that appear right with the wrong heart. Some of the better examples I can see of that is thinking about at work. It's like, I know I have to do this, but I hate to do this. There's no joy in this task or whatever it is, but I'm going to do it, but I don't like doing it. I don't want to do it. And you know, you can get into such a habit of doing something that you can do it without even thinking. And if you can go to church without even thinking, that's a problem. Think about it. Think about tasks that you do every day. There's things I've done before. Maybe my mind is so wrapped up on something, and I think maybe I'll say brushing my teeth. I'm brushing my teeth or whatever, and you're doing that while you think about something else, and then you finish that, and then you're like, I need to brush my teeth. I didn't brush my teeth. Well, you did it without even thinking, because your mind was on something else, and that was a menial task that you can do without even thinking. Church should never, ever get to that point that you can do it without thinking, without that purpose. It's one thing to say, hey, I know I'm going to church on Sunday. I know I'm going to church on Wednesday. I know I'm going to be there. Yes. But what's the value of what you get while you're there? It should never be a menial task that you can get through without thinking. It should be something that as we grow through it, it gets sweeter all the time. You look at it here. I'll go back and I'll look. As you go back to Ephesians, I'll read a couple of verses. chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So Paul here, back in Ephesians, when he was writing this, the letter to the Ephesians, he's talking about the church and how much they had love for the people. I tell you, that's a burden. We are in the people business. Jesus Christ is in the people business. That's the most important thing. I know there's things that you need to live and what have you, all that, but the most important thing is people. And I look at it like this. Of course, we have a burden for our lost people, and that should be our focal point, but you know, the most important people should be our family and our church family. This is the most important people. Not that you don't care about somebody else, but this is, you are the special people. And I tell you, it's got to stay there. It's got to stay in that way, in that vein. Look at it like this. And I might have used this before, but it's probably the best I can use to give. But if you go back and you think about your spouse, before you got married, and you think about that dating phase and just how things were then, that was a special time. I can remember that. With Brandy, sometimes she'd come see me at work or something like that, and I'd always be looking for her, hoping I'd see her, and I'd see her, my heart patter a little bit. You know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, church should be like that. But you think about it, you know, sometimes what happens with marriage as you go on, if you're not careful, the heart stops pattering. You stop doing the things that you used to do. It's like, hey, I like this person. I don't want to lose this person. I was picking on Brandy one time, or maybe she's picking on me. We were talking about something, and I said, hey, well, you used to do this. She said, yeah, but I got you now. Told on you, didn't I? That'll come back on me. That'll come back. But it's like that, you know? And if you've been married for 30 minutes or 30 years, that person knows probably how to make you madder than anybody else. Let's just be honest. They can hurt you quicker and make you madder quicker. I mean, you know that, and I know that. But in all sincerity, I want you to think about this. You know, there's a lot in the Bible about marriage, and marriage is very important. I mean, you could probably, in most messages, find some marriage counseling in almost every single one of them. I mean, you can, in these verses in context. And you think about it, even Christ himself uses that as an example for the church. We're the bride. He's the groom. He's taking care of us. We're supposed to love him because of how he has taken care of us and the provision that he gives to us. But if you think about it, as time goes on and as a marriage goes on, should it not get closer instead of further away? Should it not get sweeter? I mean, you know those little sweet things you maybe used to do when you first started getting together and dating and what have you? I mean, shouldn't those things maybe increase? I'm talking about both sides. I mean, both ways. Should it increase? It shouldn't diminish, should it? It should get sweeter. You see kind of how it goes. You go through the dating times, you go through the engagement time, and you get into the marriage time, but it should always grow more sweeter and never diminish. It should grow sweeter. Same thing is what is being said here about the church, about leaving the first love. They got to a place where they did the things, but they did it without love. Isn't that something? You think about it. Brandy, I want to do this, but it's because I have to, not because I love you. I feel like I have to do this, so I'm going to do it. That person knows that. Anytime you do something begrudgingly, Bible uses that word, the other person knows that. Versus maybe it's done, and it's done out of love. If you do it out of love first, that person knows that you mean it. And see, that's what the Lord wants in our life. It's not that he wants us to follow this law. Or just the Bible does say, follow my commandments, and I understand that. But how sweet is it if we don't just have to follow the commandments, but we do it because we love him. We love him first. If you ever lose sight of that, then everything else kind of topples. That's why I put it like this. They left their first love, and what we're supposed to do is love first. If our hearts are in the right place in the ministry, we will always do what's right for the other person. Even if that's telling them the truth. And a lot of times people, that's hard. It's hard for people, rub people the wrong way. But if you can show them in the Bible what the Word of God says, then the problem's with the Word of God, not with you. And that's something that the other person has to decide and understand and learn about. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left their first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. I like how that reads. It doesn't say that I'm just done with you. But he's saying, remember, go back and remember that newness that you had when the day that you were saved, when this thing started and you committed that unto the Lord, and you said, Lord, I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to trust you with it, that it grow to be what you want it to be, not dependent upon me. But Lord, I want this because I love you. I love you. I'm putting you first, and I want to see you do the work in our lives. You see, this church lost that. They were just going through the motions. If somebody drove by, they said, boy, look at that church. They're working. They're out there doing. It must be a work day. They're out there working and they're doing. But on the inside, the love wasn't there. The world can see that. The world can sense that and notice that. It is so important to keep the love first in the Word of God and everything that we do for Him. But He's saying, repent and do the first works. He says, repent. And go back to doing what you're supposed to do. As often, as much as people don't like to have any negatives said about them or what have you, I tell you, that's a pretty important one. He gives a lot of positives to the church. He gives a lot of good things that they're doing, but he's saying, go back and remember why you were doing those things. Don't forget about that. Stay with what matters first. Stay with the first work. Stay with the gospel. Stay with the Word of God and don't worry about offending people. That's something that gets me all the time. I've thought a lot about this. Different people in conversations this week, as people have said, I just don't want them to be mad at me. I don't want this person to be upset with me. Here's the thing. I want to give you some good advice on that. And it's not cold advice. Number one, make sure your heart is right with God. That you are right with Him. Amen. You're in good standing with Him. Make sure that you're doing what the Word of God says out of love. And you know what? That's all you can do. That's all you can do. The thing about it is, you cannot control how other people feel. You can't control what other people are going to say, but you can control what you're doing. And you know what? If you're doing right, and God knows that, but your heart is open to His, and you can look at Him and say, Lord, I really don't, if I've done wrong, help me. He'll help you. But you know what? That's all you can do. I have peace in that. I used to worry a lot, and I'm not saying I don't care. I do care. I want you to know that. But if I fretted over every single time I thought somebody was upset with me, that's all I would ever get done. That's all I'd ever get done. I'll tell you this, as someone who stands, preaches, teaches, live stream, congregation-wise, and probably everything critiqued or whatever, I've learned real quick, Lord, I have to be right with you. Because people are going to be happy sometimes. They're not going to be happy sometimes. You found the same thing in your life. But the best advice I can say to you is stay close to Him, commit unto Him, and He'll take care of the rest. He'll do it. I promise you that. It's not always easy to stand for what's right, but God knows it. And He knows your heart when you're doing it right. And He says here, repent and do the first works. He's saying, ask for forgiveness. Repent. And go back to doing what's right. Stay with it. Stay with the stuff, as we've heard it said many times. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. You're never going to get anywhere with the Lord without repentance in your heart. This idea of always being right or something like that, no, it's not like that. That's why you've got to commit that to the Lord. That's why you've got to give your heart to Him. He's the only one that knows how to work the human heart. But you look at verse number 6. I'll be closing here soon. Look at verse number 6. It says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. See, you're on the same side. So that's the thing. As we learn more about the Word of God and we learn more about Him, we know what we should stand for and what we should stand against. The Bible gives that to us. I've heard it said like this before. A lot of people get up and, I can't stand this, I can't stand that, and I can't this. And finally somebody said, I hear what you stand against, but what do you stand for? Well, I tell you, there's plenty to stand for in the Word of God. If you get in there and look at it. Just stay on his side. We're not trying to pull him onto ours. We're to stay on his side. Verse number 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's us. Those that have an ear to hear, that's you and I today. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise, the paradise of God. He's saying here to listen and to overcome. I tell you, listening, just being quiet a lot of times and listening to what God has to say, he answers a lot of questions if we'll slow down and let him do the talking before we start doing the talking. That's usually when things go sideways, if you think about it. I talked to a fella today, had a lot of folks coming in, truck drivers, different things, and I had a fella tell me today, he said, this right here is my number one problem. He started pointing at his mouth, and I was like, yeah, that can get you. But you know what's encouraging to me, church, too, is out of these companies and folks that met the last couple of weeks, many of them are believers. We were able to talk about church and talk about the Lord and talk about good things. So just know, we're not alone. I know sometimes it feels like that. We're in the mountains thinking nobody else is a believer or what have you, but they're all over the world facing different things and going through things. But we serve the same God, and I thank him so much for the word that he gives to us. But I want to encourage us to love first, just the way the Lord would have us to. Always have the burden for the lost people, for each other, looking out for each other, and taking care of each other. But I'm going to stop right there before I ramble on or anything. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add tonight?